Hi, this is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts, asking for your help during this Lenten and Easter season. Support from our listeners is vital and allows us to bring you and many others high-quality spiritual programs like the one you are listening to now. It also assists us in our outreach to areas around the globe, touching literally millions of souls via the World Wide Web. Our highly rated free Discerning Hearts app allows you to access over 1,000 audio files as well as video content now available on our expanding YouTube channel. The heart of our mission is to help foster authentic spiritual formation for the seeking soul so they can fully encounter the living Christ and share in his mission of healing hearts and spreading the good news to the world. Please, won't you help us to continue this important work of evangelization by donating today to discerninghearts.com. DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Monsignor Essef is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by Pope St. John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, and sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
See, the message is our identity. So that, what is a Catholic? What is the identity of a Catholic? If it is not identified by their baptism and confirmation, uniting them, making them one with Jesus Christ. If that's not the message, then we haven't gotten it yet. And that everything else falls into place and makes sense with regard to the sacramental system. But everything else is like unconnected dots if you don't come back to that. And it remains in the head. It's not a lived experience. And the Catholicism of the Acts of the Apostles, it's so powerful that this is really what you and I are called to do. What Jesus is doing in the Apostles, he wants to do in us. And he is. I just had a Mass. And it just reminds me of today's first reading. And they all came, and the cures were pouring out, and demons were being driven away. This is a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. And this is what happens, and it's the fifth chapter of Acts. Many signs and wonders were done among the people at the hands of the apostles. They were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the others dared to join them, but the people esteemed them. Yet more than ever, believers in the Lord, great numbers of men and women were added to them. Thus they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall upon one or another. Who is Peter? The same thing that Jesus was, Peter is now. The same thing that Jesus is, you are now. And I am. That's who we are. To the gifts and the extent that Christ lives in us. A large number of people from the towns in the vicinity of Jerusalem also gathered, bringing the sick and those disturbed by evil spirits, and they were all cured. What Jesus did, Peter's doing. What Jesus did, you are doing, and I am doing. And when we teach the children who they are, we want to teach each of them to that lesson, that by their baptism, they are now carrying out a specific power. What Peter was doing, they can do. in the world today. And they can do it all day long, wherever they go or whatever they do. This man, who is an NBA basketball star, or was, I never met him before, came to see me. He was an outstanding star. He's about 6'10", a handsome man, a Catholic, and he was an NBA star. He got involved in someone's death. I don't know what all the circumstances, but he did spend time in jail. And he went from having millions of dollars at his disposal, and now he's finding it hard to get a job. And he is very, very sad. Today is Mercy Sunday, and he came to me on a perfect day to talk with him and to be with him, for me to look and to see the power of Jesus as we spoke about who he was. I said to him, "What's your identity? Who are you?" That was my teaching. And he slowly, "I'm a child of God," he said. "What is that?" And so, "Who are you?" And as a baptized Christian, and so all of us on this Mercy Sunday have things that we're sorry that we got into or sorry we did. There is power and grace on this Mercy Sunday to have our sins forgiven. What is the sacrament of reconciliation except to teach us that we can be restored to union with Jesus Christ, to the glory of God? Our sanctity, our holiness, is not anything I do. My sanctity and my holiness and my sanctification is Christ in me. It is by him that I am holy. So that the power now will radiate, and the peace and the happiness that can come as he now lives the life of Jesus. And so here he is. He can, his identity is to be one. I loved talking to him too, because especially the time he spent in prison, because he has a greater identity with Jesus than I do. Because Jesus died in jail. Jesus was executed in prison. And when Jesus says, "I suffered and I died," the second lesson of today's Mass of Mercy Sunday, listen to what Jesus is telling us through the book of Revelation. John, in the book of Revelation, is talking to us. "I, John, your brother, who share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Jesus, found myself on the island called Patmos because I proclaimed God's word and gave testimony to Jesus. I was caught up in spirit on the Lord's day," that's today, Sunday, "and heard behind me a voice as loud as a trumpet blast, which said, 'Write on a scroll what you see.' Then I turned around to see whose voice it was that spoke to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, wearing an ankle-length robe with a golden sash around his chest. When I caught sight of him, I fell down at his feet as though dead. He touched me with his right hand and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the one who lives. Once I was dead, but now I am alive forever and ever. I have the keys to death and the netherworld.' This Jesus who is in you is the Lord. He is the first and the last. In you, in me. Who am I? Once I am united with him, this is the grace and the power and the love that is in me. He is the one who conquers death. Why should I be afraid of anything? For he and I are one. Could there be anything more frightening than death? And that holds no sting. It has no fright over me, in him, and through him, and with him. The greatest fear that I would have is to be separated from him. The only thing that separates me from him is my sin, when I choose not to be one with him. And that's my own choice. Each of us has this temptation, opportunity, and sometimes failure in our lives, because every one of us is a sinner. On this Mercy Sunday, when our Lord is giving to his apostles, listen to the message of Mercy Sunday. It is so powerful. This day is called the Sunday of Divine Mercy. Here is the gospel on today's Mass. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples, for fear of the Jews, had gathered, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." What is his wish? Peace. But they were full of fear. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." Now listen. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." He has given the power to his disciples, his priests, and his bishops to forgive sin. Power that only God has. That same power is yours today to receive. Let all of us have tendencies to be falling from our Lord and union with him. Everyone who is hearing me, including myself, I want to hear what I'm saying. If you're a bishop and you're listening to this, you're a sinner. If you're a priest, you're a sinner. If you're the Pope, you're a sinner. If you're a Catholic, you're a sinner. If you're a Protestant, you're a sinner. If whatever you are, you're a sinner. But Jesus has given us power to have our sins forgiven. The forgiveness of sins, because sin is the most horrible disease in the world. There's nothing more horrible than sin. The power of Jesus can break any addiction. I have found that the 12-step program all over, not only the United States, but any place in the world, recovery is possible from any and every addiction. Sexual addiction, drug addiction, pornographic addiction, alcohol addiction, eating addictions. Every person that we meet, no matter what your tendency is, God has the power. He has the power. I am the first and the last. And that power is where? It's in you. You don't have to go any place except within yourself to be converted, to return to God. Many of us are starving and dying, and that It's right there underneath our hand. It is the Holy Spirit who is inspiring us to put on Christ, to be clothed in Christ, to be renewed in Christ. Jesus gave to his disciples, he breathed on them, "Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven." The Holy Spirit, as you come to this awareness of what that is that's destroying the divine life in you, all of us have different tumors. All of us have different wounds. Those sick and the suffering that were brought into the streets so that Peter's just shadow could fall on them. All of us are sick and need the divine healing. Because on this Mercy Sunday, we are all sinners. By our jealousy, by our judgments, by our envies, by our angers, by our unforgivenesses, every person. And the tragedy is, that this is the tragedy, not to live the life of Jesus that we have. That is what the horror of being a Christian is, to be Christ and not to live the life of Christ. To have him within me and not to witness to his presence. That he can actually see with my eyes. Christ wants to stop judging through my mind. I can have the mind of Jesus. All of us, as we assist at Mass on this Mercy Sunday, are going to say, "I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned." You know who's the first one? Is the priest leader, or the bishop leader, or the Pope himself. "I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in my thoughts, in my words, in what I have done, and what I have failed to do, through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault." All of us are sinners. And when we recognize that, the healing power of Jesus Christ can come to all of us. On this Divine Mercy Sunday, God wants all of his children restored to the divine life. "I have come that you might live, and live it more fully. I have come that you may have joy, and have joy more fully. I have come that you may have peace. Peace be with you." Our anxieties, our worries, our fears, our lack of trust, our nervousness, so many of us separated from Christ today are being called back to union with Jesus Christ on this Mercy Sunday. This confusion that exists in our hearts from our own childhood, the lack of awareness of our identity, our call by baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, is to be Christ. That's our identity. Our separation from that identity and union with Christ is sin. And this world, in my world, this Mercy Sunday, is dark because I am separated from the Lord. And until I see my blindness, I cannot save anyone else, not my husband, not my children. If I think I love them, I'm not really loving them. The only love that I can give them is the love I've received. And that love is to receive from the Father the love that he has for his child, who I am. When I have received from the Father, Now I'm beginning to live the Trinitarian love, which is my baptism. When I have received from the Father the love that the Father has for me, then by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can give it to my husband. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I can give it to my children. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I can give it to my neighbors. And because that love is not mine, but Christ, I can give it to my enemies. I can give it to those who hate me, because I am united with Christ, who suffered and who died and who rose to new life. He has given me the power to be a repentant sinner. And on Mercy Sunday, I urge us all to go to confession, to recognize in the beginning, first, to do this thorough examination, do an inventory of my own brokenness that I need to bring before God and the sacrament. And there have this cleansing and healing which the Father and the Son and the Spirit so longs to give to each one of us. This is Purification Sunday. This is Mercy Sunday. There's not one sin that I have that God in His mercy cannot forgive. My sins are finite. No matter what I have done, whatever brokenness or how many times, all of us sinners can be healed. If we cry with the church today, there's a cry that's in Greek, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison. God has redeemed us in Christ, and we are redeemed sinners. What a magnificent day today is, the Feast of Divine Mercy. Though my sins be as scarlet, they shall become as white as snow. No matter how much I may have sinned, God's mercy is greater than my sinfulness.
Monsignor, do you think it's because we really don't appreciate that Galatians 2:20, that it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me? I mean, we just lived through Good Friday, in which we heard how He took on our sins, but yet to think that He's in me, and then when I choose to sin, that, I mean, that's a heavy thing for us. So it's much easier to think, oh, no, He's over there, and I'm still autonomous.
Yes, the real is that I live, no, not I, but Christ lives in me. So my life is His life, and His life is my life, when I choose purposely. Now, that's why I think there are so many grades of sin, because of my unconscious choice or subconscious choice to choose to do what I want, that is the I that is not Him. And so when I push Him away, that's what sin is, that I choose. I choose the drug. I choose to watch pornography. When I choose that, I can't in any way sully or besmirch Christ who's in me. My body, my whole being, then wrenches itself. That's why it's so ugly. It pulls itself away from its very source of life. And that's what sin is. It's the most horrible pulling into the darkness, being grasped by the demon and the devil into the darkness that is death, that is misery. To choose misery and death over life and union and light and love. It's horrible, sure. And the only one that can sin is the I, and I can do that, and that's my false self.
When you really appreciate the fact that it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me, that baptismal nature, we were baptized into him and marked with the cross, that the suffering that St. Therese would talk about, those thousand little pinpricks, that she would find joy in even that. Or even Teresa of Avila, when she says, I'm your hands, I'm your eyes, I'm your feet, I'm Christ out in the world. It all begins to make sense. It's not just cute.
It's not poetry. It's real. Yeah.
Then it really makes a demand of us. Agape, love, really, it's not just a song. You really are called. There's a commitment to bear witness when you've been baptized.
You know, to truly be aware of what sin is to really weep. When Jesus came into the temple and saw the publican bent over, wouldn't even look up, that man had an awareness of his misery. And when the good thief hanging on the cross said, what's happened to me, I deserved. And then when Jesus said to him, this day you shall be with me in paradise, that cry that went from that good thief to Jesus' heart, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I think those prayers and those cries of sinners are really the awareness and the weeping of Magdalene at Jesus' feet. I don't see that in a lot of sinners. And I think we have made somehow bedfellows with our sin. And we don't even realize what a wrenching, horrible disease and tumor and brokenness sin is from Christ, who is our source of life. I live, no, not I, but Christ lives in me. And that sin is death to the soul, death to eternal life. If you have a child and you love that child dearly, can you imagine the love that you would have to give that child to someone? And especially if you knew they were going to make that child suffer? That's the love that God has for me and you. That's the love he has for us sinners. God bless.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the free Discerning Hearts app. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, which is to offer rock-solid and authentic spiritual formation freely to souls around the world. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax-deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef.